can resilience be learned? You know, are you born an entrepreneur or not? Welcome to Living Limitless. I'm your host, Emily Dawn, full-time entrepreneur and coach for coaches. This is the place for you to be if you want to live your life with time, money, and location freedom, because life is too short to have a backup plan. Thanks for joining me for today's episode, where we're talking about why some people never succeed in business. I think we can all agree that entrepreneurship isn't for everyone, nor does everyone want to be an entrepreneur. But you've probably realized a lot of people see the outcome of what having a successful business can look like. You see the fancy car, the nice house, the rental properties, all of these things. And we see that end result. But what we don't see is the blood, sweat, and tears behind those trophies. So what is the difference between the successful and the unsuccessful when it comes to entrepreneurship? Resilience. I'm going to pull out my phone and I'm going to read off to you the definition of resilience. Okay, here it is. So the definition of resilience is an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. I'm going to read that again. An ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. So it's being adaptable. It's when things are thrown at you, taking it in and working with it. Being knocked down and getting back up. And doing this continuously. Think of people around you. Think of your circle, your family, your friends, your online partners, people in your network. Do they show resilience? You probably know people that are very resilient, and you probably also know people that aren't. You know, something doesn't go their way and all of a sudden their world falls apart. Whereas other people, something doesn't go their way, they get knocked down, they get back up, and they adapt. I remember when one of my now best friends said something that I will never forget. So I'm going to take you back with me. Picture this. I moved to Australia from Canada and was working as a live-in nanny for 6 months in Sydney, New South Wales. My six-month agreement with this family was coming to an end, and I didn't want to leave Australia. My travel visa was good for 1 year, so I still had 6 months left on my visa, and I wanted to see more of Australia because I had been in Sydney for the last 6 months. So I decided I was going to move to Melbourne. So moving to, you know, a different state, a different province, and a new city I'd never been, all on my own. I had moved to Australia all on my own, and this time I wasn't going to a job where room and board were set for me. So this was going to be a completely new experience, something I'd never done before. Fast forward to the day I'm leaving. I leave Sydney, fly to Melbourne, and I arrive. I had rented an Airbnb with somebody I had only met once that was living in a different part of Australia. And we said, okay, we're going to try to find an apartment together. We're going to try to find some sort of living situation that we can afford as of right now. So we went hunting around trying to find a place for us to stay. Our Airbnb was booked for the following night, so we had to move to a new Airbnb and continue looking. Finally, we were done with looking and we were like, we just need to make a decision. Long story short, ended up moving in to a two-bedroom apartment, and there was a total of 8 of us living in this apartment. Yes, a two-bedroom apartment with 8 girls. That means 2 bunk beds in each room and a small living space with a little kitchen. It was crazy, to say the least. But that's not even the point of this story. I just wanted to give you some background, some context here. So this is where I'm at. I now have accommodation. Now I need to find a job because previously I was a nanny. I had room and board covered for me and I was getting pocket money. Now I've got accommodation. I need to figure out how I'm going to afford food and afford to continue to pay this rent for this bunk spot in my new apartment living situation. So the following day, me and this girl that I had just met that were apartment hunting together went to Office Works, which is the place you go to get your printings. And we had quickly updated our resume and printed off 30 resumes. I remember we're like, oh, what's a good number? We're like, let's start out with 30. So we both get 30 resumes printed. We go out all day walking around, handing out our resume in person. The following day, we do the same thing. We eventually ran out of resumes. It went by quite fast. So we went back and, you know, we thought, oh, maybe like 15 or 20. So we got those next 15 or 20 resumes. Fast forward to printing out over 100 resumes, handing out over 100 resumes in person, still not having a job. We stumbled across this little health shop that was specifically for Chinese tourist companies, like tour buses, to come and show products to. Anyways, we saw on the door that it said, now hiring. And we're like, oh, finally. We were just, you know, at the breaking point of feeling like giving up for that day. And they said, come in. Yeah, come tomorrow and we will do a little interview. We came in for the next day and it was a trial of just showing us around, showing us what it would be like. They were only able to offer us 15 hours per week. So 15 hours per week would just cover the cost of living in our accommodation. And so we would have no savings. If we just had that work, we would be able to pay for our apartment, but we would not be able to have any extra money to do anything or to buy food, etc. So we take the job because what is there? Of course, we're wanting to save up our money. We want to save money while we're there so we can travel more of Australia. A few weeks later, my friend ended up getting a job and I was still hunting. In the process of these few weeks, I had done interviews, I had done trials where I just worked for a day. At a cafe, I worked for just over a week. I did door knocking, selling, I shouldn't say the company, but I did door knocking sales. I did flyer handouts. And when I was working in the cafe for a week, of course, it's a paid week. So they ended up contacting me to come back. Meanwhile, they never hired me. And they then stopped responding to my messages. So this cafe was not too far from where I was living. So I ended up walking up there, trying to be as confident as I could. And I said, I have emailed you, I have texted you, and I have heard nothing back. I have worked this many hours for you. May I please get my payment? And he just says, oh, I didn't receive it. And then he pulls out his wallet full of cash, hands me it, and I walk away. That is just one of the situations. Another situation, I was handing out flyers and they had a requirement to walk 15 kilometers screenshot your path that you've handed out flyers to these houses at, and then you'll get paid on each week of the Friday. So I did that for 3 days in a row, walking 15 kilometers within that time period, me just alone wandering the streets and handing out these flyers. I have to laugh when I look back at it. And they ended up being scammers, so they completely blocked. It was a huge scam that was going around at the time that I had not heard of. I found a legitimate flyer handout place, which I worked for 2 days. I did an interview at a place where you can sell paintball in the mall, paintball experiences. What else did I do? I think just about everything. I tried just about everything, and I ended up handing out over 200 resumes in person, 200 resumes in person over 3 months, and that does not include, of course, online applications. And after about 2.5 months of doing this, that's when my friend said to me something that I'll never forget. I was sitting on the couch on my phone, applying to more places. I'd been looking for a job for 2.5 months. And she said to me, "I don't think I've ever met anyone that just doesn't give up. Like, you're just not giving up." And I just looked at her and I was just thinking to myself, I never even thought about giving up. Like, it never crossed my mind. It wasn't an option for me. I needed to make this work. And that's that mindset I have with business. I will not give up. And sometimes, like I was just talking to my parents today and saying, sometimes I wish I was a quitter. I feel like that's just the easier route sometimes, but I just don't give up. And that is what is differentiating the people between the successful and unsuccessful. It's the ones that keep on going. It's the ones that still have failures, but still get up. So when my friend said that to me, and now thinking about it and talking to different women and connecting with women that are okay with their current situation or don't have this burning desire versus the women that are, it's not that either of them don't experience failure. It's that one has that drive and that desire and that determination and resilience, and the other person doesn't. They don't want it enough, or they're not willing to embrace the challenges that come with being successful in whatever they're trying to do. I ask myself when I connect with these people, and I'm like, I wonder, can resilience be learned? You know, are you born an entrepreneur or not? Are you born resilient or not? I read an article called How People Learn to Become Resilient by The New Yorker. I'll put the link in the show notes of this episode if you want to check it out. But it's really interesting to read and learn more about what resilience really means, as well as how our environment and our life circumstances can have a great impact on an attribute of ours, such as resilience, or a skill, you could say, the skill of resilience. The good news is resilience can be taught. It can be learned. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, I absolutely believe you can, but you need to be willing to put in the work, and it will take effort and adaptation. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic of resilience and not giving up If you are an action taker, if you are determined, if you really want your coaching business to be successful and you feel like you have some missing pieces, I would love to chat. I'm Emily Dawn Coach on Instagram. You can find me in my Facebook group, Ambitious Women Entrepreneurs and Coaches, where we talk about all things simplifying social media marketing, dropping the confusion, gaining clarity so you can gain clients without hitting burnout. So if that sounds good to you, make sure you join my Facebook community and check out the show notes to figure out how you can get in contact with me. If you want to email me, DM me, check out my website, whatever way you want to see me, I am there. Have a fantastic rest of your day, evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, and I will talk to you very soon. If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, be sure to rate and subscribe. To connect with me further, you can find me in my Facebook group, Ambitious Women Entrepreneurs and Coaches, or on Instagram at Emily Dawn Coach. You can also check out the show notes to get direct links, and I will catch you for the next episode.